Parshas Vaschanan. Rashi gives one pshat from Chazal that it comes for Vaschanan from the lashon of chinam, for nothing. That Moshe Rabbeinu is asking Hashem to give him his request, even though the tzaddikim can ask in remuneration for their righteous deeds, but they ask from Hashem to give them a matnas chinam, for nothing, free. And I heard a medrash from a Pintus Zatzal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu discovered my secret treasure, that the greatest brachas come when one asks for a matnas chinam. What is pshat? When he is daiti, I would say along the lines of what the Rosh Yeshiva Shlita mentions in the tefillah of the Ne'ilah by Yom Kippur, when we say that what can we give Hashem? Hashem doesn't need us. He's infinite. What can we do for Him? He can do the greatest good for us, of course. And that's along the lines I would say here, that what pshat is, that the tzaddikim realize that even if they can ask because of their ma'asim tovim, they understand that that is even really a matnas chinam from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't need it. What does he need? He lacks nothing. It's only because of his infinite goodness that he grants us the greatest good forever after, just by listening to him. That's pshat. That everything really is a matnas chinam. What, even with our deeds, can we, so to speak, expect? It's only from the infinite goodness of Hashem. And we also notice that Vaschanan, the famous gematria, is the gematria of how many tefillos that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to Hashem at this point. 515 tefillos. And Hashem told him, and he was going to do even more, non-stop, so to speak, as far as he could go, like he did all things to serve Hashem as far as he could go. But Hashem told him, that's it, Rav Lach, there's nothing more you have to do, you accomplished everything that a human being can accomplish. And therefore, as the Radal points out on the Midrash Rabbah, that Shiva has the same gematria, 515, to show us that these tefillos of Moshe Rabbeinu were the most beautiful Shira to Hashem. Why, we might ask, their personal tefillos. But as we know, the only reason even his personal tefillos of Moshe Rabbeinu was for one reason only, to serve the Master, to do everything he can the best and greatest way that Hashem would want it. That was his whole life. And that's why the most beautiful tefillos, even his personal ones, because that was his only reason for doing them. And with what we just said, I feel this is the appropriate time to mention something later in the parsha. We know when we lift the Torah, do Hagba in the shul, we say the pasuk in this week's parsha, "V'zos haTorah asher son Moshe lifnei b'nei Yisrael." But it's very interesting. Immediately before this pasuk, it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu setting aside the three cities of refuge, the Ari Miklot, on Eved HaYarden, on the east side. And we would wonder, what is the connection? That immediately afterwards it says, this is the Torah. Seems like the whole Torah, so to speak, that Moshe Rabbeinu is putting before Bnei Yisrael. What is the connection? So, Rashi of course gives one explanation. But Moshe Zatzal in Darash Moshe gives another explanation. The connection between these two points is the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Bnei Yisrael, as we just mentioned before, the Inyan is Tfilas V'Hashchanan. We know there are basically two levels of serving Hashem, through Yira, fear of Hashem, and Ahava, the greatest level of Ahava. As we know, the Gemara in Yuma, the difference, one of them, anyway, is the fact that through Yira, one's sins can be forgiven. If one does tshuva me'ahava, a higher level, the sins can become mitzvahs. As we explained another time, that we can say one pshat is that if he does it so out of such love, that of course the Rambam says nuchus tshuva, sometimes he's given the same test, and that's how Hashem shows that he did the proper tshuva. But we can also say when he does that tshuva me'ahava, Hashem knows everything. You can't fool Hashem. And if it is such a great tshuva, Hashem be his witness, that if this person had to do it again, just the opposite. He would do the mitzvah, not the aver. And that's the point that Moshe Rabbeinu is showing Bnei Yisrael now. These cities of refuge did not take effect until the cities of refuge of Eved HaYarden, the Marav, Eretz Yisrael, on the other side, took effect, were separated. And even so, Moshe Rabbeinu is showing Bnei Yisrael that if you truly love someone, he did not have to do it. What was the point? It didn't take effect anyway. But Moshe Rabbeinu, anything that could be possibly done, any kind of connection to a mitzvah that Hashem would really want, love him to do, even though he doesn't ask for it. As we know, if you truly love someone, even if they don't ask for it, but if you know that they really want it, you will do it for them. Have that ahava. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was showing here. To reach that level, that even if you're not asked, but you know that that's what Hashem wants, then you do it. Of course, we can say, added, that if he does it now, so they don't have to do it later on, so to speak, saving time. But again, the point is that the fact, what he wanted to show, was this all-important lesson. Because on the other side, you could say that no, you could learn Torah in this time. That is, Vagisabah Yamon Balayla. But Moshe Rabbeinu understood and knew that doing this, for whatever other reasons he might have had too, of course they're all out of Ava, but to show this lesson to Bnei Yisrael, that that's the greatest Madrega. That's the point. When you want to do something from Ava, you will always do it. When it's from Yira, Chas V'Shalom, if there's any kind of way to get out of it, God forbid, a person might do it, try to get out of it, or even if not. But there's a limit. With Ava, there's no limits. Before Sheni, we have the Lavin of Lo Sosifu, Lo Sigru, You should not add to the Torah. You should not subtract from the Torah. It seems strange that the lo sosif, not adding, comes before the not subtracting. One would think logically the first thing to warn against, and that a person, the Yetzer Hara, would do, is to subtract from the Torah, to make it less. Wouldn't have to do so much, so to speak. So why does it begin with lo sosifu? And we can add to that also the vav v'lo so sigru mimenu, as we know from the Gemara and Pesachim, vav mosif alinyan rishon, a connection to the former statement of lo sosifu. And the Rosh Hashiv explains that actually what the Torah wants us to show by this order is the fact that in essence every lo sosifu is a lo sigru, along the lines of the Gemara Sanhedrin, kol hamosif gorea, anyone who adds in essence subtracts. And as he explains beautifully, because what is really a person saying if he will want to add to the Torah? What he is in essence saying is that the Torah is not perfect, Chas V'Shalom. Hashem, who gave us the Torah, who is perfection personified, how could he have not given us the perfect blueprint for life, the perfect Torah? You're going to make it better by a subtraction, for sure, not by subtraction, and even by adding. Because if there was anything to add, Hashem would have added. And of course, as we know, surely it's not talking about where Hashem gave the Rabbanon the ability to Siyata Dishmaya, that which he wanted to make takonis when they felt it was needed. Of course, we're talking about when it's not through Chazal, Yivei Shemayim Tamid Chacham. That's the lo sosifu, lo sigru. And that's where the problem comes. You can see some of this, by the way, in the Kli Yoker. Another amazing thing we see is the fact that right after these lavin, it mentions the sin of Baal Peor. We know how degenerate this Aveira was. It wasn't, so to speak, your normal kind of idol worship. It reached the basis form of the degeneration of a human being. That the Beis HaKisei, the functions of a human being, were worshipped. That's how they served the idol. In fact, there's a medrash of Chazal that says the image of the idol was in the form of the Eber of a Zohar. And one would wonder, what in the world causes a person to reach such lows? And actually, the Rosh Hashiv Zatzal and the Sandra Shivashlita independently gave the same pshat. And the Rosh Hashiva says it in Dorosh Moshe, and Rosh Shivashlita says it on one of his tapes on the Friday Shir in Chumash. And they say the following, that as we know, as the Rambam explains, the Dor Enosh, when it started, the Avodah Zarah in general, had, so to speak, good intentions. What they felt was the sun, the moon, the creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that we have to show appreciation, HaKares HaTov, say thank you. And especially in those days, we know that one person to another, even not to a king, they would bow in giving thanks to one another. And that's how it started with the Tzva Shemayim. But what happened was, it degenerated over time into Avodah Zarah Mamish, and finally to the even Avodah Zarah of Baal Peor. And what started it? It was the Baal Tosef. The wrong kind of an additioning to the Torah that was not set forth and commanded by Hashem through his Chachamim. And therefore, as we know, in general, the Yetzirah of an Aveira, a person tries to not have a guilty conscience. And one of the ways that is done is to make themselves a god that allows them, that not only allows it, but says it's a mitzvah to do what they want to do. That's the service of the god. So they not only make their own god through the Yetzirah, Aveira, Gareira, Saveira, they make, of course, the rules and attributing it to the god. So to speak, as saying that the Gashmius, that's what this false god wants. To make holy the worst non-holiness. That is the ultimate Yetzirah. In fact, the Rosh Hashiva in Parshas Kitzisa by the Egel, the Pasuk uses an interesting order by the Aveda. In Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Vav in Shmais, it says, "Vayashkimu mimachros ve'alu olos ve'gishu shlomim ve'yeshav ve'nechol ve'shos ve'akumu tzacheik." What did they do before the Aveira? They brought kabanos, and then they did the Aveira. So to speak, the highest form of service, avoda. What is the point? The point is to make it kosher, to make it holy. After you do the, so to speak, the holy things, then you make the most non-holy things holy, to show that this is what is required of you. Anything goes. And once anything goes, you know where it leads, as the Baal Peor shows us. So we see how always, how vigilant one has to be against the Yetzirah. That even well-intentioned, so to speak, additions, if they're not taken into counsel with the Chachmei Hador, with a true Rebbe, a Yirei Shemayim, Oyev Hashem, a tzaddik, can lead to the worst subtractions, to the worst averus. Sheni begins with Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Bnei Israel to, of course, listen to Hashem, his chukim, mishpatim of the Torah, and that will be chokhmaschem uvinaschem leinehu amim, in the eyes of all the nations of the world. And of course, we can ask how things which we see other times, that they taunt us, what do you need, shatnez, this or that, kosher, not kosher. And it's telling us that they're going to be the chachma and bina in the eyes of the world, to show how wise and understanding we are. Of course, one explanation is the fact, because I'll say, the Chachma of astronomy, the Chachma of the Luach, the calendar, which has Chukim in it also, as we know, handed down, Mesoira, to make the calendar, and they see that Chachma. But the Pashtus of the Pesukim, the fact that it Pashtus is, it goes on all the mitzvahs and Chukim of the Torah. How is it? And Rosh Hashivah Shlita explains beautifully. The fact that the Goyim see the results of a Yid that keeps the Torah the way it should be. The Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, that it shows the gentlest of people. I remember, often told by others also, but experiencing it myself, one of the things that happened would be that the police in the neighborhood where the Jewish people lived would say, what's the greatest job for them to be in the neighborhood where Jews are? Because they know they don't have any problems. No other neighborhood would like it. They don't have to worry about muggings, killings in general. And it's a fact, it has nothing to do with prejudice. Look at the prison population. Look at the crimes in any country. The facts speak for themselves. And that's Pshat here. The Torah, with its chukim and mishpotim, even that those things themselves, the goyim, many of them cannot understand, especially the ones without reason. But seeing the results, they say, that's Chachma Bina. Who cares if we don't understand it? The proof is in the pudding. It's like a doctor that tells you, this medicine will help you. You don't understand why, how, what. Why should it? Who cares, right? You'll take that medicine, especially if it's going to save your life. That's the same thing here. That's how it shows us the Chachma Ubina to the whole world of the Torah. Pasuk Chafei after Sheni, which also begins, as we know, the Kriya for Tisha B'Av, and it mentions a warning to Bnei Yisrael not to go after Avodah Zarah as other nations do, but to keep the Torah, because if Chas Hashem they don't, Ki Avot HaVodum, they will be destroyed, Chas Hashem. And Rosh Hashivah points out the Gematria of Avod is 7. Why? Because 7, the 7 days of the week, the natural cycle, symbolizes the gashmius of this world. In fact, as the Mishnah Ner Arachin shows, that the number 7 is Olam Hazeh, representative of number 8 is Yimei Mashiach, number 10 Olam Habo. So we see it represents the physical world, as we mentioned before with Baal Torah. That's in general the going away from the Torah, from what Hashem wants of us. When we put the physical world as a goal, the Gashmias, instead of the Ruchnias, the spiritual, to make this physical spiritual. And in fact, I would say, the first Pasuk of the Shvi, when it mentions the 7 Umos in Eretz Yisrael, that the Bnei Yisrael have to watch out for, not follow. They became the most degenerate of nations. And after mentioning the 7 nations, it says Shiva Goyim. Mechaira, why does the Pasuk have to mention again Shiva? I could count it myself. There's 7. I would say along the same lines. But the Pasuk is showing us that they represented the, so to speak, supreme Gashmias of the world, the subservience to the Gashmias, the Aveda Zara, the Aveda Zara, and everything they did was all for the physical world, to enjoy the physical pleasures, making that their religion, the total opposite of the Torah as we're mentioning now. From Pasuk Lamed Beis and Pesukim afterwards, we see that the Torah gives us one of the greatest proofs to show why the Torah is endless, why Yiddishkeit is a true religion. As even the Goyim say, the mother of all religions. And it tells us, ask anywhere throughout history. No other religion can claim, and Baruch Hashem, they don't make a false claim as such, that all those people, a whole nation, stood at Har Sinai and saw Hashem with their own eyes. They were given the Torah on Har Sinai, and Hashem appeared to them. Any other religion, you have a prophet that says Hashem came to him or whatever. Never all those people at one time, 600,000 just from 20 to 60 of the men, as we know from the Torah. And the Goyim are not denying that. Just like anything in history, why do you believe there's a George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, you never saw him? But all those millions of people that did see him, they believe it. What reason do they have to lie? What ulterior motive do they have? The same thing here. The Bnei Israel, our ancestors, saw. There's no reason to suggest otherwise. And therefore, anyone who wants to see, who has eyes, and truly wants to hear and listen to the truth, sees this amazing argument. But of course, as we said before, the Yetzer Hara, if you let it, Chas V'Shalom, can convince you of anything. As we explained at the beginning. And the same thing here. When the Yetzer Hara wants to do what it wants to, not to do 613 mitzvahs, but to make their own mitzvahs, to give in and want to do all their tithes, all their desires, not have the guilty conscience, not having to follow Hashem's Torah, even though automatically, which is another proof to the ones who want to see, want to hear, that if Hashem, who's infinite in goodness, if he's giving us this, of course it's for our infinite benefit to have eternal greatest good and simcha forever after, or else he wouldn't do it. A God who is infinite in goodness does not give us things that are hardships for us, that are going to be our detriment. He's only giving it in order that we should be able to gain the greatest good and happiness forever after. Mi'atz Hashem, we should always, all of us, the whole world, follow that, listen to that, what Hashem wants exactly, with the greatest simcha and understanding forever after. Tamid mi'atod yad olam. We of course also have the Aseres Hadibros in this parsha, just like we had in Parshas Yisro. And one of the questions asked is the fact that it begins with that Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoceicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim. Why did Hashem choose that opening? We would think that Hashem would have said, I am Hashem that created the universe. As Rosh Hashiva Tzatzal, the Moshe, explained, that one explanation we can give is the fact that, of course, one has to believe that the world was created by Hashem. But even more so, can't have one without the other. And especially the fact that you have to believe that Hashem continues to control the world. He just didn't create it and said, okay, go on your merry way. He takes an active part continually. He's the Mashgiach, supervises the world all the time. Nothing is left for happenstance. And that's the point of the opening remark of the Atzeres HaDibros. That I am Hashem that took you out of Mitzrayim, that you saw, but I didn't let the world go hefka. That I continue to control it. I continue to impress upon all human beings to follow Hashem, because He continually is supervising the world, that you should listen to Him and get the greatest good forever after.